Matthew chapter 16. Is where we're going to be in God's Word this morning. You find your place to stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Matthew chapter 16, breaking in at the 17th verse. Find your place, say amen. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And this is where I've taken my text today. And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let us pray. Father, I ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you'd speak to us this morning. Give us your word, Lord. I can't preach, but I know that you can send the preacher this morning, Lord, and give us what we need. Lord, we've come hungry and we need to be fed today. So, Lord, would you speak to us out of your word? Speak through these stammering lips, Lord, this uneducated mind, Lord, but you give it and I'll give it out, Lord, whatever it you have this morning. Lord, I love you and I praise you. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. You can be seated. Here we see in this chapter that Christ is asking his disciples earlier in the chapter, Who do men say that I am? And Simon Peter said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Could you imagine being there and being in the presence of the Lord? And the Lord would ask you, Who do men say that I am? Lord, they say this and they say that, but I like what Simon Peter said. Thou art the Son of God. Amen. I believe he's the Son of God. He's the only God. He's not just a king, but he's the King of kings. Amen. He's not just the Lord, but he's the Lord of lords. Amen. He's worthy to be praised this morning and worthy to be lifted up. But when I was studying and even God spoke into my spirit last week about this message, he confirmed it in me this week. And he wanted me to talk to you this morning. I want to preach a message on the key. On the key. You may say that's an odd title for a message, but I'm going to preach on the key this morning and try to help you understand some things about a key. And, of course, I want to give you some history this morning. I got to looking up about a key. How many of you have got keys on you this morning? Everybody should have a key. Get them out of your pocket. Get them out of your pocket, but go ahead. Get them out this morning. I want you to look at them for just a minute. These are Ravonda's keys. Look how many they are. You know who's got the keys. But thinking about a key, I want you to... Everybody got a key now that you can look at? If you ain't got one, you can share it. Why don't you look at that key, how it's made? You see how that key's made? Let me give you some history on that key. In 1861, Lincas Yale Jr. was inspired by the original penlock tumbler design that his father did in the early 1840s, thus inventing and patenting the small, flat, serrated key. So this key was patented in 1861. It came about, you know, there were keys before then, but not like this one, like this patent that was done. And it remains in use right today. We've got keys for everything. There's keys to the house, keys to the car. Look at that key. That's a weird looking key. You know, they're getting away from the old metal keys. They're going to those plastic ones that they want to charge you $500 for when you lose it. Or it goes bad, you know. Can I get a witness on that? And so, but I'm talking about a key this morning. You know what a key represents this morning? It's a symbol for opening and closing power. It's a symbol that gives us that kind of power. It gives a person the feeling of empowerment, accomplishment, and ownership. When I bought my house and I got my keys to that house, when I bought that house, it made me feel better than it did when I was renting the house. When I stuck that lock, that key into that lock and turned that and opened up the door, I was like, that's my door. This is my house. That's my key to my house. And it made me feel empowered. It made me feel important. It made me feel an accomplishment that I had done something for my family that I had never done before. I had provided them a place to live, and I had the key to it. You go out and buy a new vehicle. You get that vehicle, and they give you that brand new key, and it feels good to put that brand new key into that ignition and turn that key. And you feel so good inside until the payment book goes. Now, some of you may be able to be blessed to go out and pay cash for that. Boy, don't it feel good to put that key in a brand new vehicle and it being paid for. You feel accomplishment. So a key has great power in our lives. You see how many we've got? This is just a few. There's a whole rack of them at the house. There's keys for everything. We couldn't have gotten this church this morning. Why? Because there's a lock on the door. There's keys that open that door. There's keys that open your car. There's keys that open your firebox. There's keys that open the basement, the woodshed, the lawnmower shed. There's keys for everything in our lives. So these are important in our life. And so it was important to me when I was reading the scriptures when Christ said that we could have the keys to the kingdom. Now, you can't see my spiritual key, but I got one, and I got a key to the kingdom of God, amen? And I'm glad that key is Jesus Christ, amen? He's my key to the kingdom, and I'm glad ain't nobody can steal my key. My key can't be lost. My key is secure. I've got a key to the kingdom. So if I've got a key, I must tell people about this key and how to get to this place that's called heaven. Revelations 1:18, the Bible says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys to hell and death. Jesus has the key. Satan don't even have the keys to his own house. I'm glad when he got up that third morning victorious over death, hell, and the grave, I'm glad he walked in and kicked the door open on him and said, oh boy, let me have your keys. And he repossessed the keys that day. And even right to this day, the devil ain't even got the keys to his own house. He can't even feel accomplished in his life. He ain't even got a way to get into his house. That's why the Bible talking about he's going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour, up and down. He's constantly trying to devour us, trying to bring us down, discourage us, and discourage you that are lost. And I'll tell you what, you that are lost, you are already mastered to the man that don't even have a key to his house. He's your master. No, he's not my master. You're either living for God or you're not living for God. You're either for him or you're against him. You're either working for a loser or you're working for the winner. Amen. One of them. I'm telling you, Satan is a loser this morning. He ain't even got the keys to his house. I'm glad I'm serving one that's got keys to everything. He knows what we need today. So I'm going to tell you, when you look at these keys, you know, I got to this week while I was studying, I was looking at that key, and I want you to look. You'll notice that key has got many, many points on it. And there's many valleys, and there's many high points on that key. You know, this is a way to represent life, if you'll think about it. Our life is like a key, and there's no two keys alike. Brother James, my key ain't like your key. If I took my key and stuck it in your door, it wouldn't open because it's not my house. It's not my key. But this key will open my house. But you know, in life, we go through things in life. There's many valleys and there's many mountains. And when you next time you look at a key, you can see how many mountains and valleys that you've been through in life. And they cause a lot of different things, a lot of different shapes in your life. Maybe things that haven't turned out just the way you thought they would turn out in your life. I'm sure when this key was first made, it never thought it would be shaped like this. but it had to be put into the machine and keyed right so it could become something that could be used by the master. And I'm glad this morning that God has taken me and He has molded me down. And I have went through many valleys and many mountaintops. And every one that I've went through, God has been molding and making me. Because one day after a while, He can take my key and He can unlock things that'll help people in their life, amen, of what I've been through. He can do that this morning. He can do the same for you. But in life, this key couldn't have done anything had it not been cut and shaped into place. And there's things got to happen. Brother Todd, there's things got to happen in our life. And if we're going to be used of God to where we can help people in our life, we got to be willing to be cut. Can I get an amen? We got to be willing to be cut and hewn in our life. It ain't a bed of roses walking with God. Can I get a witness? But I'll tell you what, He said, I'll go with you all the way, even down to the end of the world. And when you're willing to do what God wants you to do, you'll get on the machine of God and say, God, I'm willing to be cut by you. Cut me in place, Lord. Help me be the child of God that you want me to be. So the first thing you got to know to be the key for God is you're going to have to be strong. This key is strong. I can't physically bend that key. It's so strong. Now we can put it in the lock and break it off. But I'm telling you, this key is a strong key. And you need to be a strong key for God. Let me tell you how. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He wants us to be strong in Him. 2 Timothy 2:1 says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that He has put upon your life. Know that you're standing with God and you're standing secure in Him, and you can be strong in your belief and your walk with Christ, that God can use your life for something that will open up to other people if you'll be willing to be strong for Him. I'll tell you how I've had to learn how to be strong. When my mother gave birth to me many years ago, she probably never realized that God was going to bless her with a son that was going to be a preacher. For the years and things that she had lived and what she had been through in her life, if you looked at her history, there was no reason for her son to be a preacher. She wasn't saved at that time. She hadn't lived that kind of life. She had a grandfather and a grandmother that loved God, but outside of that, it was drinking and fighting and cussing and raving and doing all these things. She'd never been taught like that of God. So why in the world would God bless a woman to have a son and call him to preach? Because somewhere down through history and down through time, there was a praying grandmother and grandfather that loved God and prayed over her and asked God to bless her life and bless the seed that was in her life. So God reached down and blessed her. And through the blessings of her life, God blessed my life. And when He blessed my life, He'd already touched my life before I'd ever come out of her womb. He had already put His hands upon me. Why? Because Jeremiah, he told him, he said, I knew thee even before thou was in the womb. He knows what you're going to be in life. He's got a will for your life. He's got a purpose for your life. If you'll seek God first in your life, He'll use you for His glory if you'll seek Him first and be strong in the Lord. And I'm glad that my mother followed the will of God and listened to God and raised me to love the Lord and to honor His name. And by their influence of going to church and loving God, it pricked something down in my heart and made me want to live for God, made me want to be a key for God. And when I became a young man and began to hear the gospel and get under the power of the preaching of the gospel, it convicted my life. And I'm glad when it convicted my life, I got born again. And when I got born again, I desired the sincere meat of the Word and began to dig into the Word of God. I began to get stronger and stronger in the will of God. And I got into a place where God couldn't mold me. You got to remember, He's cutting the whole time in my life as a young man. He's cutting and making me what I ought to be. I love it when God does stuff like that. But over in 2 Timothy 2:1, He says, thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the Lord and the power of His grace. Now, as a young man, I had to learn what that grace was. And when God was cutting me and shaping me, He came in many ways. He came from persecution. It came from bullying at school. It came from having to stand up to people and not be ashamed to tell them who I was. God will allow that kind of stuff to happen in your life. God tempts no man, but I believe He will allow the tempter to come. I remember one time as a young man, I was 12 years old in school, and this young man had been bullying me the whole time. He'd just walk by and shove my head into a wall or make fun of me and do all these things to these young kids. These kids go through a lot that you don't realize, but they go through a lot. And bullying is a real thing, and it's hard. It's hard on our children, and you need to help your children if they're being bullied. But I was being bullied at school, and I didn't know what to do. And you know, I go home crying, and I go to school crying, and you know, I didn't want to be beat on and all these things. And I tried to be what God was making me to be as a 12-year-old child. I got saved at 11 years old, and I was trying to be that example and trying to listen to what the preacher said. And he said, I need to be a witness for God. I need to stand up for God. And now I realize the Scriptures, you know, I'm standing strong in His grace. And then one day a boy said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to whoop you for who you are because you're a Christian. You know what I did? I didn't run and cower away. I didn't say, I'm not a Christian. I said, I'm a Christian. Come on. And we went at it. You may never have been there, but I've been there. I had to fight for the right to be a Christian. As a young man, you'd say, surely you wouldn't have to. I had to go through it. We fought all over the place. I know one thing. He knew I'd been there the time we got done. You know, I tried to turn the other cheek. But when he cracked me on the other one, it was all over then. I stood up for the right. And sometimes that'll happen. I wouldn't encourage nobody to fight. You young people, you need to get out of it every chance you get. Get away from it. Go find you an adult. Get some help. Tell them that you're being bullied and let them do something to help you out. Fighting is the last cause you should never fight. You older people, when somebody lies on you and does things and gets on Facebook and slanders you and runs you down, don't go out looking for them and looking for a fight because you'll find it. That won't please God. I'm getting down in your yard yet. I ain't got the flower bed. I'm headed that way. So we need to be strong in the Lord. 1 Chronicles 28:10. The Bible says, take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. That's what he said, just do it. So we need to let the Lord build His house in us. How we do that? Be a representative. Let Him cut us and mold us into what He can use us to be. The key that He can use. I don't want to be just a blank. You can't do nothing with a blank key. A blank key will not open nothing. I could go out here and have the exact key that goes in that door, but without it being cut and grooved in the way it's supposed to go for the tumblers, it will not open that door. You can stick it in and pull it out, and the door still won't open. You can wiggle all day long, and it will not open. Why? Because it's got to be cut and molded into what it's supposed to be. You cannot live a Christian life just laying back and saying, oh, how good God is. I don't want to do nothing. I'm going to sit back and just enjoy. It's wonderful. It don't work that way. It comes through trials and tribulations in a battle. You are a soldier in a mighty armory of God. You come to fight in a battle. Yes, there's basic training. Yes, you've got to learn. Yes, you've got to study and show yourself approved. But there comes a time when you have to fight. There comes a time when you've got to be the key that God has made you into be. You've got to go and do what He has called you to do. So number two, you have to be willing. Not only do you have to be strong like a key, but you've got to be willing. Now that key, once it gets cut, it's willing. It wants to be used. That's why it's here. That's why it's on this ring. It's here to be used. So it's willing to do what God wants it to do. Jeremiah 18:3-4. Let me read that to you. Then I went down to the potter's house. And behold, he wrought a work on a wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was mired in the hands of the potter, so he made it again another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Sometimes we've got to go down and let the master work on us just a little bit. Lord, my edges are getting dull and they won't hardly work, and I'm not being much of a witness. I need to be sharpened up just a little bit. How do you get sharpened up? Doing what you're doing this morning. Coming to the house of God, listening to the preached word of God, studying your Bible, being the witness that you need to be, and allowing God to cut the grooves in you that needs to be cut. Now, something I'm noticing this day and time, everybody wants good, soft preaching. Give me some good, soft preaching. Buttered spread preaching. Talk about how sweet God is and how good He is. But don't talk about hell. Don't be talking about that. Don't be talking about adultery. Don't be talking about all these other things that we've been dilly-dallying in and drinking and cussing and doing all this. Don't talk about it. But give me something good and smile and just pat me on the back and see me, and I'll be happy. You're going to be a blank is what you'll be. You'll be a blanket that'll never be used. It'll get thrown in a drawer and never be used. God is looking for some that's willing to be cut and shaped into what He wants. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? You can't get anywhere if you don't allow God to cut into you and make you what you need to be. Brethren, we couldn't do the things that we do if we don't let God mold us and make us into what we ought to be. You know, in my life, I go through a lot of things, but I ain't been through nothing compared to what this brother's been through. I ain't been through nothing what that brother's been through. I ain't been through nothing what she's been through. Everybody has different circumstances, but we're all in this together, and we're to love one another. When you see your brother trip and fall and down on his knees and he don't know what to do, what are you supposed to do? Shove him on down on the ground and push him down that he can't get up? He's trying to get a helping hand that somebody will reach out and help pick him up. Why? Because he's trying to be what God has molded him into be. I tell you what, I'd rather be in the will of God and crawl on my knees all the way to the church house and do what God has called me to do than to be a blank that does nothing for God. Amen. I want to be where God can use me in my life. If it takes crawling on my knees, that's what I'm going to do. I want to love you and help you along the way that God will bless your life and tell you the truth of what He wants out of your life. James chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God and be buddies with the devil. No. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will. He will. You should underline that in your Bible there in James 4, 7. He will flee from you. Our problem is we're too busy being a buddy with the devil. I said we're too busy being a buddy with the devil. We'll listen more to him than we will to God. Oh, you can't do nothing. They don't want you down there. You're useless. They're trying to get rid of you. You know what? You're right. I think you're exactly right. That's right. They're trying to get rid of you. See, the pastor, he didn't notice you last week, and that's why, because he's trying to get rid of you. You know what? You're exactly right. He is trying to get rid of you. Next thing you know, you're buddy-buddy hanging around the devil's neck. Is that not the way the devil works? He didn't call on me. He didn't recognize me. You know how much I want to be recognized just like this? I'd rather for you to see God and see me, amen. Lift up Him and bless His holy name, and He can be glorified, amen. I don't want to be seen. I want Him to be seen. So not only be strong and be willing, but be reliable. Be reliable. Be someone that God can depend on. What of the old writers said, Lord, send me. Send me, Lord. You know, when we need to get something done here at the church, you ought to stand off side and say, hey, send me. Let me do it. I'll do it. Well, you already doing two or three. That's all right. I'll do it anyhow. You ever notice there's like a handful of people in the churches? I ain't talking about just this. It's everywhere. Most churches got a handful of people and they do everything. And it's and the rest of them, they just come in, be a little part of it, and then they leave. And then you got that hand. It's getting quiet this morning. Now I'm in your flower bed. All right, I'm still talking about a key now. We need to be used of God. But you got to be reliable. See, you know what, Brother Gary? I'll be glad to do that. Well, you won't get no recognition. Well, that's all right. I'll do it anyhow. It ain't always about standing behind this pulpit. It ain't always about leading singing. It ain't always about leading prayer, taking an offering. It's just honoring Him. That's all it's about, is honoring Him. Psalms 119, verse 2, the Bible says, "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and they that seek Him with their whole." Not half, but their whole heart. This week, I wonder, have you sought the Lord with your whole heart? And the things that you've dealt with and the places you've went and the people you've had to deal with, did you really seek the Lord's will on what He'd have you to say and do before these people? I wonder. I know I didn't do a good job. I could have done a lot. Brother Allen, I could have done a lot better job. Let's get down to my yard. I could have done a lot better job. There was times I could have done better this week. And the Lord knowed that I needed another notch cut in me. That's probably why He gave me this message, because I'm preaching more on me than I am on you. This ain't about beating one another up anyhow. This is about being stronger in the Lord. But I'm talking about being reliable. And I appreciate you all that are coming to the church. You're here every Sunday, and I want to commend you for that and thank you for that. And it's not just me, but the Lord thanks you for that. And He's blessing your life through your reliability to honor Him and come to His house. Many of you are working many shifts, 6 days a week. Everything that you can do, you wore out. You woke up this morning, your joints was hurting, your back was hurting. Everything was bad. And the devil said, "It'd be better if you just stay home." But you was like, "No. I'm going down to the house of God because I'm going to get fed." And that's why God has given me this message, to tell you that He wants to honor you and He'll bless your life if you'll seek Him first in your life. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my brother, be steadfast." Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. "And as much as ye know that your labor, your work, all this that you're doing for God is not in vain." He's keeping a record of everything that's being done. The places we've been this week, last week, and preaching and singing and trying to minister to people, you know what I'm finding out? There's a lot of blank keys amongst the people of God. We have heard the story so long that it really don't affect us anymore. Jesus loves us. We're going to heaven. God's so good. And everybody just seemed like, I've heard it. I'm looking for something different. It's Jesus and nothing else. Jesus and nothing else. If we can't do anything else, we need to lift Him up. "Lord, I'm willing. Lord, I want to be strong. Lord, I want to be the one that You can use. I want to be willing. And I want to be reliable, Lord, that You can use my life for Your glory." So how can we do that? In Psalms 37:5, He says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also Him, and He shall direct your path." He shall direct you. If you'll trust only in Him, if you'll stop listening to the devil, if you'll give your neighbor an encouraging word instead of a discouraging word. Talk about how good God is, not how bad your life is. We all have trouble in this life. You know, Scripture talked about, and I've heard theologians and preachers and all debate this, and Paul talked about his thorn in his flesh. And they called it everything and said it was everything. But we've all got thorns in our flesh. We've all got situations we've got to overcome. Many of you all have overcome in the last 6 months things that you helped me, give me inspiration to know that if that comes my way, I can overcome it because I've watched your life. You stayed faithful to God. You stayed strong in the Lord. You stayed willing. You stayed reliable. And you have spoke to my heart and said, see there, you can overcome because they overcome. How do we overcome? By the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. The word of our testimony. If you've never testified, you need to think about it. If you've never exhorted the Lord, lifted Him up, give Him praise, exalted Him, you need to think about it. You need to think about it. Because I'll tell you what, this thing is something to get excited about. It's something to talk about. It's something to show people there's something alive in your life. You need to be a key that God can use. The next door that needs to be opened could be your door. You could be the door that somebody walks right up to, and you need to take your key and open that door that they may see Jesus. Is your door open or is it closed? I'd ask you that today. Are you living a life that's open before the world that they can see Jesus, or have you got a bunch of stuff hid? I wonder if somebody come up to your door today and walked over to it and saw it was closed like this one, if they walked right up to it and opened it up, I wonder what they'd see. Well, we don't want nobody looking there. We got things we don't want people to see. But I want to tell you today, the master key maker knows exactly what's in that door. I know that God knows what's behind that door, and you know that God knows what's behind this door. What's behind door number one? I don't know, but let's look and see. One day after a while when we stand before God, that's what's going to happen. Everything that's been hid is going to be brought out before the whole world on that day. If I had anything hid in my life, I'd bring it to God and surrender it to God today. If I was living contrary to the Word of God, I'd bring it to the altar today. If I was living a life of ill repute, I would bring it to God today. If I was lost and undone without God sitting in this church house today, I'd bring it here and give it to God. Why? Because time is running out, and we need to get right with God before it's too late. Now, ye that are born again, we know that God has saved us and we're on our way to heaven. But He said, not let the sun go down upon our wrath. We need to pray and stay close to God. Why? So when the devil and the tempter starts coming, that he can't get in our door. Don't stand there and say, here, devil, here's the keys. Go ahead and open up the door. Come on in. Come on, let's have some coffee. That's what you're doing. Your door's like this with the devil. Come on in. Let's have a good time. You know what he does? He just comes over and goes right on in because he ain't got nothing to hold him off. He just walks right through the door, walks right in the house. I don't want the devil to be like that. I want my door to be closed in a way that the devil can't get in. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, amen. Why? Because I got the key. You got a key this morning to the kingdom? I do. You're supposed to. But I wonder what you're doing with your keys. Are you constantly giving them to the devil? Because he's constantly trying to get them. You know what the devil's always doing? He's always walking around trying to pat you on the back, and he's trying to look, see where your keys are at. He's constantly, hey, how you doing? How you doing there, buddy? You doing all right? Where's your key at? He's constantly looking, hey, how you doing? You doing all right today? And he's constantly looking for something that he can get on him. But most of the time, we're just standing there, here, devil. There they are. And he just takes it and runs with it. I'm telling you this morning, God gave me this message to tell you, he's the key. And you need to trust him. But he said, I have gone away. Now ye are the light of the world. You're the key to it all. Do y'all realize that you could be the key to this service today? Really? Do y'all know you're the key to this service today? I really wish all of y'all could stand up here and I could go back here and sit down. That's right, brother, preach it. That's good preaching, brother. But we're the key to the whole thing. Since we're the key, did you know that? We're the key to this service today. And how we live for God and worship God and and live before Him is what people see. It ain't about me standing up there. It's about God working in our life. God wants to do something, but He's going to have to start back here with us. Why? Because we're the key. We're the key to this whole thing. I bet you didn't realize that, did you? But you're the key to this whole situation. I've had people coming to me talking about, man, we're having wonderful service. I can feel the presence of God. But there's just something about that big. There's just something. If somebody would just something, it would just go to the next level. Why? Because somebody's holding back their keys. And they won't be what God wants them to be. Maybe you should have testified this morning. And now the time has passed and you've regretted not saying nothing. And now another service has passed and I'm not listening to God. I've not done what God asked me to do. And you have bound the whole service. You or me. See how important it is to be strong in the Lord and be willing to let God use you. It ain't about how loud you shout. It ain't about running around the church. It ain't about all the emotions, but it is about honoring Him. If He tells you to run around the church, you should have done been running. If He told you to run outside and run around the parking lot, you should be out there right now running around the parking lot. If He told you just to stand up and raise your hands, that's what you should be doing. If He tells you just to walk around the church, you ought to walk around the church. Make everybody uncomfortable. I'm making y'all uncomfortable because you think I'm coming back after you, ain't you? That's what y'all to do. Y'all just mind God. God said, just walk around, brother. Just walk around, praise me. Walk around me, Jesus. Walk around me, Jesus. Walk around. You ever heard that? Oh, don't sing that. Get everybody started. Whatever God tells you to do, you're the key to the service. You need to break. If you don't like what's going on, then change it. You're the key to the service. The Lord's asking me this morning to tell you, are you tired of being blank on the Lord? Not having any grooves cut in you? I hope the next time you look at a key, you realize that's your life. Yeah, there have been a lot of mountains and a lot of valleys. Oh, how God has used me. How God is using my life. Next time you stick a key in the door and it opens up, that's how God is using my life. God, I want to be the one to open the door for Brother Aaron. He may need to go to the next level. God, help me open up the door. And it'd be easy for him to walk through, Lord. Help me be willing to be the key, Lord, that you can use. Help me be the one, Lord, to help the church grow and exhort the church. Lift them up and show them the way. Help me be the key, Lord. I know it may be uncomfortable. It may not feel right. But you need to be the key for God. As every head is bowed and every eye closed.